Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
On today's episode of The Glue Guys, a really good one for you folks. We're going to dig deeper into this Harden to the 76ers conspiracy.
Yet deeper.
And why actually the 76ers may not be the team that the Nets should fear.
Curveball.
And then we're going to dig into everything that the Nets could get using Dinwiddie's trade exception. We're going to rank all the names of all the possible players and update you all on the hottest, spiciest trade deadline rumors.
Classic.
This podcast is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together with the best of live and on demand. Learn more at DirecTV.com. Welcome back to The Glue Guys. This is Mike Ayersley. Hello, Brian. Check us out on Twitter at BK Glue Guys, NetsDaily.com, The Athletic. Get yourself behind that paywall at TheAthletic.com/Glue Guys. Ryan.
Michael.
By the way, did you know that BetMGM is now live in New York?
Whoa.
Organic advertising here. There's also a special New York deal that can also be mentioned here, which I'm literally anchormanning copy.
I'm suspicious of this being organic. I'm very suspicious.
Place your first bet of $10 on any football game with BetMGM and win $200 regardless of the outcome of your bet. Here's the promo code, ATHLETICNY. ATHLETICNY, get yourself behind that gambling wall.
Nice.
Brian.
Michael.
Exciting show for you today.
Okay. All right.
I think some people know we love basketball. Okay. But we love humans more.
Yeah.
Or do you? Do you love basketball?
I was going to stop you right there. Yeah.
Because I think this James Harden issue is really a human issue. Okay. And someone brought something forward to me on Twitter.
Okay.
And it's something that I completely agree with when considering James Harden and why maybe there's some discord and disconnect. Okay. And this is so from the Jake Fisher story that we've talked about before.
Yep.
But from the Jake Fisher story, Jake Fisher points out that.
Wait, hold
on. This is the quote.
Is this friend of the show, Jake Fisher?
Friend of the show, Jake Fisher.
Yeah.
Newsbreaker, Jake Fisher, friend of the show. He says about Harden, his new city could also be an issue. According to multiple sources, Harden has not enjoyed living in Brooklyn compared to his days as a central Houston magnate. Outside of the change in climate, the chasm between state taxes in New York versus Texas is quite obvious as well. Well, I've been tweeting some conspiracy theories about that, which I'll get into. But one of our listeners, Young Guapo BK on Twitter, said this at me. Harden has seasonal affective disorder.
Mm.
And as someone who actually does have, I self-diagnosed seasonal.
Of course you do. No, I get it. That makes
affective
sense.
Disorder. If you don't know what that is, it's like you get sad when it gets cold. That's the brass tacks of it.
I get the opposite.
That's right.
I have the, well, I guess it's still seasonal effect. I don't like the summer because.
You get happier?
I resent the summer because there's the expectation that I should be outside and everything that I want to do is indoors and it's always been that way and that's not going to change. And so the pressure to go outside is worse in the summer. And so I feel worse about myself. Whereas in the winter,
some Viking blood in your body. So
could be
some Viking Egans in the past.
We do have a lot of Neanderthal genes in the, it's true. My dad got a 23. I have large, you know, forearms and calves. Thick thighs. It's a Neanderthal thing.
A Neanderthal
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun. This Jake Fisher report is really the best one in terms of from James Harden's side. We have other pieces of information that have come out since we last did a podcast. The biggest one being Woj. Woj reported, I think it was 2 days ago, that the Nets won't listen to trade deadline overtures for James Harden, a resolve rooted in Harden's repeated instances to ownership and management that he's committed to staying and winning a championship with the franchise. Chris Haynes has updated that really it's not just Daryl Morey in Philly. It's also the co-owner of the team, Michael Rubin, who's, quote, very, very, very good friends with James Harden. So there's a lot of information.
I really
out there
liked how fast, like, somebody got together a statement from Nets management to be like, no, but no, and then have that be passed through Woj.
Yeah, because if people don't know, if Woj is reporting something, it's from Sean Marks. Mm-hmm. If Shams is reporting a Nets thing, it's usually coming from the players. Like, classically, people assume it's Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving that's literally feeding information to Shams.
It's the yin and the yang of the media puppets. Not to call them puppets, but the strings to pull.
How dare you? Sorry. Friend of the show, Shams Charania.
I didn't mean
media
it that
maestros.
Way. Maestros.
Come on.
Those are the different conduits, though. If you're management, you go to Woj. If you're players, you go to Shams. That's how it works.
Who's Mozart and who's Salieri? Salieri is the...
yeah, Salieri. Good.
I think Woj is Salieri,
did
right?
Did you watch Amadeus lately or something? Is this...
No, I just heard someone else on a podcast use resonated that with and it you. Sounded smart.
Does yeah. Sound, I was like, that was... Where did that come from?
Oh, fuck.
Got him.
No. Unpack that. You think that I couldn't come up with that reference by myself? You think
you just admitted you didn't.
But yeah, but you should have believed that I had the intelligence and the requisite knowledge of orchestral history to know that I could pull that off.
Fair enough. You're right.
Okay, fair enough. Brian, I want you to do something with me for a second.
Thought exercise.
Talk directly to James Harden right now. We know James Harden listens to the podcast.
Okay.
Explain to him what winters are like in Brooklyn and how they get better.
Oh, I mean, this is easy. It's just teeing up the best feeling in the whole world, which is actually needing to just wear a windbreaker. That's really there's wearing a windbreaker when you don't have to, when you're inside or something, but on just a crisp spring day where you actually just need just a windbreaker, can't beat that. Especially after coming out of the doldrums, you know, it's impossible to replicate and you just have to live it. Maybe he didn't experience it. Maybe it was too new of a city last year for him to let that really like land. You know, he was just being shipped around. He came just hot off the jet from Houston. No time
COVID
to settle
was
in.
Really,
COVID was ripping.
Done with COVID.
COVID was ripping.
Back
roaring.
Then it was COVID was roaring. All the quarantining and all of that. And here's the thing. So James Harden's life, he grew up in Los Angeles. He went to Arizona State, which I've been to Arizona State. It is pristine. Like, the climate
hot.
Is pristine.
I hear it's hot.
Hot. It's really hot down there. Yeah. Hot coffee. Then he goes to Oklahoma City, which does get cold, but it's a different environment.
Does
just
it get cold? How cold does it get? What's the deal with...
There's
the weather
in
like
Oklahoma.
That? Yeah.
There's snow.
I feel like it's like, does it dump? Does it dump? Snow?
What do you mean, snow? Oh, I thought you meant, is the place a dump?
Is it a dump? Does it
nice
snow
city
heavy
in Oklahoma?
Heavily.
It does snow there, but not a ton. And then he goes to Houston, which is obviously one of the warmer locales you could be in the NBA. So he has lived his life not really having seasons, you know, not experiencing the joy, the transition from the doldrums of winter into the awakening of spring. Right, the beauty that is New York in springtime. I'm thinking, like, do you think he watches You've Got Mail?
Yes,
and
he sees the.
So
I think he watches You've Got Mail as an aspiration or like an example of a body to strive for in Tom Hanks. That's where he takes his.
Let me ask you this: so we've had the Space Jam sequel.
Okay. Ooh, yes. You've Got Mail 2, starring James Harden.
Starring James Harden.
Sign me up.
I don't even know who's the female lead. I don't even care.
Is Meg Ryan still?
Is that what it is? Tom Hanks' character has died.
Yeah.
Died tragically by COVID, frankly.
Sorry. Or you just had Dave Chappelle step in. Remember Dave Chappelle's in that?
Yeah, Dave Chappelle's on the treadmill, like the best friend. I don't think Fox Books, I think they were Republicans. So I'm going to guess that they did not take the vax. So he dies of COVID.
Whoa.
It's a dark turn. Yeah. It's like, and just like that, the new Sex in the City. He dies on a Peloton.
Okay.
Not to ruin, I just ruined another show.
No, everyone knows about that. That was like the big headline. Anyways, let's get back on track.
Yeah. So just just James, like so this is a sympathetic sort of screed to him. And I really do sympathize. It's tough in the winter. You know, it's been a lot of cold days in a row. Is it snowing out right now in Brooklyn? It's snowing here.
You know what I think he's also bummed out about is that it's not only just winter. It's like it's winter and he's dieting super heavy. You know, like he's like on his diet. You can tell.
He's playing with James Johnson and Bruce Brown. He's not playing with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
If you're guys like us and it's sweater season, like pfft, here comes the white rice, Mike. Here comes the starches.
Here comes the brie cheese.
Here comes the brie dips. With a northern spy and a dollop of white rice. Okay. We're going in.
I really hope people continually listen to each of our episodes and to get all of what you just said.
Yeah.
The Brian charcuterie plate, mm-hmm. if you will. James, I understand. It is very hard. It is hard in the winter, but just think forward. It's going to be March. It's going to get nicer. Kevin Durant's going to be back. Joe Harris, your boy Joe Harris, is going to get you an extra 2 assists per game because he's going to be wide open from 3. He's going to hit those shots. He'll be back. Nick Claxton will be here, and maybe there'll be reinforcements in the terms of a trade. One other thing before we get to the trade component. There was another piece about the taxes here that James Harden's upset about the difference in state taxes between New York, which is the highest in the nation,
this part,
and Texas,
really.
Which is zero. I don't know, it's state taxes are zero on income. Brian, what did you feel about that?
This is how I knew whatever the source was like, and no disrespect, but it's some like squirrely, financially illiterate friend from Texas. That's the only kind. Those are Texas. All of those claims are just like, I have never sniffed New York and I'm from Texas. And these are, and I read this and I've been hanging out on foxnews.com. a lot, hitting the comments section. The taxes are terrible. And how cold is it in New York? Like, come on, guys. New York is the center of the known universe, people. Let's stop. I'm not trying to say this to blow smoke up anyone's butts here. You know, I'm sure plenty of people here, New Yorkers and New York supporters, but it is the center of the known universe. Hate to say it, but it's true. Houston, Texas is not. And it's also prohibitively hot and humid in Houston, Texas. If we're going to fire shots across the bow, you know, I can do that too. But
Houston,
like,
Houston in French is Satan's butthole. People don't really, that's how it's God's name.
And the idea, I mean, also for the taxes thing, it's pretty well documented that there are financial benefits aplenty to being one of the most high profile professional athletes in the most populous cities in America. There is a pretty clear financial benefit to that. I'm sure everyone is aware of that. I don't know, maybe not, but you get a lot of deals, Mike. You make up for it. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, there's a great earnings potential to being a championship player in Brooklyn. And the funny thing is, like, that this information, I'm not doubting that Jake Fisher, like, he's not making this up. Someone on James Harden's or in his orbit is telling Jake Fisher this, or he's hearing.
Oh, this is no disrespect to Jake Fisher. It's just some weird friend from Texas got a hold of Jake Fisher and Jake Fisher's reporting on it.
Here's a little bit of a conspiracy theory, but also a signal of concern right into the future.
Okay.
So if he's concerned about climate and taxes, Philadelphia will not solve those issues.
Not even close.
Philadelphia is the same climate. Essentially,
they're about to get hit with a nor'easter, just the same. They're about to get
a bomb cyclone. They get walloped just the same. I'll tell you a place though that I would be concerned about.
Hit me. Drop it.
James Harden could go to. Okay, if he wants a hot climate and he wants low taxes like Texas, Miami, Florida, a team that has attracted superstar players before. One of the destination franchises in the NBA, run by a guy named Pat Riley. I don't know if you've heard of him, Brian. Look him up. Google him on YouTubes. If he actually cares about weather and taxes, that's where you want to go. But the thing is about Miami, their culture of like, hey, you have to actually work out. I don't know if that like fits with James Harden's sort of like, oh, I'm going to work myself into shape by the time January rolls around. Like, I don't know if Miami would be completely satisfied with the doughy version of James Harden that arrives at the beginning of the season.
I'm thinking about it right now. Like, I really can't imagine it mattering less about, like, the weather is just such a lame, like, how much time are these guys, like, they're being chauffeured from location to location to play in indoor gyms and arenas around. And when they're like, when they're home, they're just sleeping. Like, what? I just can't possibly imagine a world in which the weather matters this much.
Is he James Harden really choosing climate over championships? Is he going to be the first is he going to be the climate change MVP?
How much time do you think a Miami Heat player on average spends at the beach? Like, are we really hitting the beach as a Miami Heat player?
I will tell you this. I talked to David Fizdale once for an interview, and this was, it was after his Knicks job. So he didn't have a coaching job, and I call him up. He's living in Miami, 'cause that's where he had coached for many years. I call him up and he's like, is it okay if I just do this interview on the beach? And why that's important is that because as the coach of the Miami Heat, I'm sure he really didn't get to be on the beach.
Right.
Even as like an assistant coach in Miami.
Right.
He basically was just.
Now he's like, taking all of his calls. He's making up for lost time.
Yeah. So he was like, I'm going to do this interview, but there's going to be waves crashing in the background and I'm going to enjoy my life.
There's a,
Fizdale, a great guy.
I think it's like a Jerry Seinfeld bit where his like the goal in his life is to just be sitting on a back porch somewhere with a glass of, you know, peach iced tea and have an old rotary telephone where when somebody calls, he just answers and says no to whatever it is. And just puts it down. That's it.
You know who Rick Rubin is? The music producer.
Yeah.
So Rick Rubin, every day, it's part of his life. He has to spend, his feet have to be in the sand for at least an hour a day. Not just like
people who say shit like that. I just don't.
He
like,
says it.
I know. I believe he says it. I don't believe he fucking does it.
I believe he fucking does it. He's Rick Rubin, man. He's, you know, a god of music. And he's talked about when I do jobs, part of the job is like, can I get to a beach and be able to walk around on a beach for an hour? I'm like, what level of success must you have in your life? Like, to attain the hour beach pass.
Yeah,
is something I would like to get to at some point in my life.
These are the people who just don't care about having good cellular service. You know, have you ever, you know, you reach to one of these pillars of success and you're like, it doesn't matter that I have good service or not. That's
is that where you want
to
get
to? That's where I want to get to.
Not care about your bars?
I am chained to the bars, Mike. Not those bars.
All right, let's do this. Coming back, we're going to talk Nets trade rumors and we're going to do the work for Sean Marks. We're going to tell him who the Nets should use in their designated player exception trade Dinwiddie thing.
Nice.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to michelobultra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we're back, Brian. Hey, okay. First, I want to update you on this little bit of a nugget from Mike Scotto, Hoops Hype, friend of the show. I don't think he's ever been on, but he's a friend of the show.
Okay.
All right. This is what he has a podcast for Hoops Hype. And they do a great thing on Hoops Hype where they verbatim like parts of the pod so that you can get the news from the podcast. And I really appreciate it. It's a charity item that they send out to the basketball masses. Here's what he had to say about Brooklyn. Okay.
Yeah.
Brooklyn wants an asset of some kind for Paul Millsap, whether it's another veteran or a future second round pick. Okay. We'll see about that. He said, keep an eye on Bruce Brown as a trade chip. His minutes and role have fluctuated this year. Javon Carter is another name to watch. I think Javon Carter must be thrown around like all over the league at this point, and no one at all is like, yes, can I have that guy on my bench? Right. I think
Javon Carter understands the play. He's marketing for him. Do you see his Instagram story where he posted a mixtape of himself being like, and it just said like most underrated player in the NBA or something like that?
Wait.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa. Was he wearing a Brooklyn jersey?
Yeah, it was like a Nets. It was
a Nets mixtape. Someone had made a Nets mixtape.
It's possible
Javon
that
Carter.
He made his own. It's possible he made his own mixtape and posted it on his channel, and it with like you know the Instagram like Comic Sans font of just like most underrated player !! You know
that Javon Carter is the ultimate process over results, but his process is still wrong. Like in his head, he must think, "I'm taking threes. I don't care if they go in or not. It's the process of taking the threes.
It's the process. You know
the result." Are clunkers.
It's like poker. You know, you don't assess the outcome. You assess the decisions, Mike. That's what you do.
The last line for Mike Scotto. Nets have gotten calls on Joe Harris and Nick Claxton, but I don't expect those guys to be moved unless they're packaged for a star or really high caliber starter. The Nick Claxton piece about that mm-hmm. he wouldn't just be moved is I think is a little bit of news, though it's been said in other places. I will say the inclusion of putting Joe Harris and Nick Claxton together, if you did that in a trade that gets you to about $20 million, you know, we could go down the list of those names and maybe we will. It does get you a pretty interesting piece that you could add to this team. But I still think so there was another report, I forget who it was from, that the Nets are looking for shooting. One of the things that they're looking for. Oh, it was Brian Windhorst, who said the Nets are trying to figure out a way to get more shooting on the team.
Hmm.
Joe Harris is that, basically. They're going to get Joe Harris, then maybe another bench piece. And we'll talk about a guy who I think the Nets could get.
Okay.
Who would be that bench piece. Are the Nets going to get anything for Paul Millsap, Ryan?
It's a tough spot to be in. I really got to think about Paul Millsap as I kind of question that decision from his perspective. I'm assuming he's the one that initiated a trade request of some kind. I don't know that you're going to get, even in his situation, I'm not sure you're going to get to a better play. I mean, unless he just wants to play, it's like, I don't care where I play. If I'm just playing, that's what I'm here for. And hey, I respect it. But I don't know that there is based on what we've seen this season, another contender that is in need of that particular skill. We'll call it a skill set. I don't know. Where is his optimal?
I think a really protected second round pick is possible. And
who gives up an asset for him and with his contract being, you know, what it is like, you need basically somebody who's in a very similar position to the Nets, who is looking to shore up their bench with veteran presences. I don't know.
I could see the Nuggets, cause they already had him and we'll take him back obviously at this point. And
hey, how about that Nuggets game? Did you watch that Nuggets game?
Are the Nets better without KD, Kyrie, and James Harden? Brian?
What percentage of people thought when you tweeted that was a real
all of them?
Yeah.
All of them. No.
Some. Significant.
Some.
Yeah.
Enough. Enough that concerns me desperately. Yeah. Okay. Here's the game, Brian. The basics of what we're doing is the Nets have an $11.5 million trade exception due to the sign-and-trade deal that they made with four other teams to send Spencer Dinwiddie to Washington. $11.5 million is one of the highest trade exceptions that are currently right now in the NBA. And the way it works is the Nets can only bring in a player that is making less than $11.5 million in the final year of their contract, meaning this is the last year of their contract, or they can bring in multiple players who are all on the last deal of their contract. When you add all their salaries up together, it equals $11.5 million. Now, I'm pretty sure I didn't look this up, but I'm just going to say I'm pretty sure that the Nets can't, if the Nets add a guy for let's say $11.5 million, it then impacts their salary tax payments by times by three. It's like adding a whole new salary. It's not like the Nets are, basically it would be super, super expensive to add someone with that. The reason why we're having this conversation though, is that it seems like within this James Harden hubbub, there's some indication from Harden's side that maybe they're slightly dissatisfied with the way, not that the team's been run, there's just some dissatisfaction between Harden and management on some level. We don't know what that is. We don't know what the the thing is, there's been reports, I think, that like he's not too happy with Kyrie playing half the games. But Kyrie's like, that's nothing for the Nets to do at this point.
That's the most like self-explanatory thing ever, though, right? I mean, at some point it had to start pissing people off. I don't know. Anyways, let's not get lost in the sauce. Well,
yeah, yeah. So, but I think what could be part of it is, and we saw this for years with LeBron James in Cleveland, guys who are going for the championship want the owners to max out every possible avenue to increase the team's odds of winning a championship. The Nets decreased their odds of winning a championship by not retaining Spencer Dinwiddie in the offseason. The Nets could have made any offer they wanted to Spencer Dinwiddie. They could have signed him for the exact amount of money that the Wizards did, and Dinwiddie, maybe he would have taken it, but they probably could have even given him a little bit more cash, and Dinwiddie would have stayed. They didn't, because it would have cost Josiah like an extra $80 million a year to have Spencer Dinwiddie on the roster. Everyone understands why he's not on the roster, whether you agree with it or not, but it would have cost Josiah so much money with salary and luxury tax, it didn't happen. Now the Nets have this other thing because of the Dinwiddie sign and trade. $11.5 million for a guy in the final year of his contract. If the Nets make a deal to fill in that trade exception with any player, it would be salary times three would also then be this luxury tax. That is a lot of money for Josiah to take a guy, and we're going to name the names, and you're going to be like, ooh, I don't know if I want to spend $40 million on this dude. But if you're James Harden, you say, I'm here to win a championship. I'm committed. I will be committed to you. You, Josiah, need to do everything you can to improve this team. And the names we're going to read would help the team's bench, I think. It wouldn't solve all crises going on, but it would help the team's bench. So here's what we got.
Mike, can I just interrupt you to say, you're very impressive. That was great. That was really nice and thorough. It was almost like you had that scripted. You're a real talent.
The whole
talent.
Time I was stressed. I was going to forget what I was saying.
You're a real talent. Was gonna fall off that was great.
Okay. Here's the first name. Okay. So all I did was go on Hoops Hype. I looked at player salaries, guys who have 1 year left and went down from 11.5 and down. Jeremy Lamb is making about, I think, $10 million. Jeremy Lamb pays for the Indiana Pacers. It's already been reports out there that they would like to get rid of Jeremy Lamb. He's scoring 7 points per game, 2.5 rebounds, 1 assist, shooting 37 from the field, 33 from three, and 88 from the free throw line. He's been a better 3-point shooter than that over his career. Mm-hmm. He did have an injury, I think, to begin the season or some point in the beginning of the season. He's a wingy 3-and-D bro. I don't know. I mean, I'm bringing up the Jeremy Lamb. Are you seeing the Jeremy Lamb?
We're seeing the reference. I'm surprised that he doesn't have a nickname by now. He's been in the league long enough that he should have, and his name has a noun in it, which usually you get, you know, lamb chop, some in there.
Oh, lamb chop.
Like the puppet, you know.
Yeah, like the puppet. Like everyone, the puppet. Everyone at home is like saying, like the puppet.
He
probably played with Kevin Durant in OKC. He started his career the first 3 years. He was part of, I'm pretty sure, the James Harden trade. He was the pick that Houston made that was sent to OKC that was part of the James Harden deal.
When I think of the Indiana Pacers, or I think of Jeremy Lamb, I think of like a sort of personalityless like wing that's who like might have
complete lack of personality,
might have had a good scoring year at some point, and you're like, what year was that? Where was he? That's what I think of when I think of the Indiana Pacers.
That was the year when he scored 15 points per game in Charlotte, right. Having to be going right into his free agency, and then he's had a steady decline since then. But he is at like his optimal level at this point in his career. He's, you know, a 36% 3-point shooter who has some length. And he does fill a role that like Kessler Edwards is doing now, but he wouldn't be the worst guy off the bench. But I think we're going to find more intriguing options. But he's a guy who could probably just like the Nets could throw in a second round pick and you get Jeremy Lin.
He's like, hey, do you guys miss TLC? Well, how about the 8-year vet version of that? You know,
Would you pay $40 million for Jeremy Lamb?
I am not ready to. I'm open to other offers. If there's anyone else on this list.
So Tomas Satoranski's on the list. Ooh. He doesn't even play for the Pelicans. I used to like him a lot in Washington. He was like the underground fanboy club for Wizards fans at one point because he's like 6'8 or something. He's a point guard.
That tall.
But he doesn't even play for the Pelicans. Yeah.
Is that because he's been politicked out of it? You know, has he, does he have a fiery European disposition that keeps him off the court?
I'm not sure. I mean, do you know that younger, the really small guard that they're playing now? He's like, he's barely 6 foot. He looks like he weighs 150.
Yeah.
So him and Embiid, I don't even know his name, but him and Embiid got in like an argument and they both got technicals. And Embiid came out and said, I'm going to pay his fine because he doesn't make a lot of money. And I felt bad for him getting the tech because it was really my fault, which is kind of, I love Joel Embiid.
That's boss energy. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's boss energy. Kyle Anderson, slow-mo from the Memphis Grizzlies, playing 22 minutes per game, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Now, the thing about it, he shoots 44% from the field, 35 from three, and 66 from the free throw line. His career, he's a 34% three-point shooter, but he's not like a, he doesn't really shoot the three. Last year, he shot the ball about 4 times a game for three, but basically throughout his career, he just shoots one shot per game.
That's a weird outlier season, though, that they just let him do that, like triple his output. Interesting.
And he's 36%. You know, that's like a decent percentage.
It's pretty good. I mean, having shot 28% the year before, come on.
I've always liked Kyle Anderson. Like, I like.
I mean, scroll up. Can we just admire his head for a second? You know, I don't like to talk about people's physical appearance, but my God, what a head.
He's from Jersey City, went to St. Anthony's. Isn't that where Kyrie went?
I think he went to St. Patrick's, I believe.
Oh, you're right. So one of the Saints. Apologies.
One of the Saints.
But he's from the area. He's 28 years old. He's 6'9", 230. He is the slowest, chunkiest guy in the league. You know I'm a sucker for slow and chunky. That's why I love chowder.
Cottage cheese.
He's intriguing, but like the thing about him is like, do the Nets need a slow, chunky, like skilled forward? They have about 12 of those.
The scoring
Blake Griffin is basically that.
I don't even, I'm just looking at this like list of people. I'm like, what is the needs? We're going to get to it, but I have a person in mind, but, I like Kyle Anderson of the names on this list. Like as just an entity, I like him maybe the most. I'll just put that out there.
Now, the thing is that we have to provide context. So he's playing 22 minutes per game for the Grizzlies, who are one of the better teams in the Western Conference. So like, why are they, making that deal? Right, but he's on the list because maybe the Nets could give them Bruce Brown and maybe
Paul
Bruce Brown.
Millsap? Could you be more enticed?
Former All-Star? Yeah. So Serge Ibaka, who remember how desperately we had wanted Serge Ibaka on this team last year?
We were horny for Serge.
There was the report from Ian Begley of the Friends of Kevin Durant, the FOKs, the Fox. The Foxes were going to come,
the Fockers,
a storm Brooklyn and join Kevin Durant. And I think it was just Jeff Green. But we all hoped it would be Serge Ibaka. He took a much higher paying gig with the Clippers. He was good last year. He's really good last year. I'll scroll down to his statistics. 11 points per game. He wasn't that good. 34% from three. This year, though, he's playing just 15 minutes per game. He's really a non-factor. He is shooting 40% from three, but on 2 attempts. He doesn't do the things that you remember Serge Ibaka doing.
There's been a lot of claims about his age situation, and as he gets older, there's just no way he's 32 years old.
Brian, how old are we?
That's my point. I'm 34. There's no way that guy's 2 years younger than me.
I think we look pretty old. I think we... Now that we look, but I think if you put us on Basketball Reference, we'd look old.
We lived some hard years there, Mike. We were going hard. Doc Holidays.
Do you want any portion of Serge Ibaka? Because I'll just straight out say I don't. I mean, I think like he is another in a line of the Blake Griffin, Paul Millsap at this point.
True,
like he is
true. Yeah.
He
don't
is
be, it's tempting.
Spent.
It's tempting because that's the bargain bin we've been poking through. But, no, you're right. It does feel like another version of that.
Next up, Tristan Thompson. Tristan Thompson's averaging 15 minutes per game for the Sacramento Kings. He's averaging a solid 6-5, 100% from three, Brian. Best three-point shooter in the league. I think
numbers.
He's taken 1-3. Tristan Thompson, I've always been fascinated with him, both professionally
and privately.
Personally?
Yeah.
Privately? Yeah, I guess it's private, but not that private. He is a burly boy. He is a frustrating player to play against at times. He had been earlier in his career. Now he's less frustrating. I mean, he's not really getting a bunch of burn in Sacramento. He would probably be very gettable at this point. The element that I do want to bring up, Brian, we don't like to get personal in this podcast. That's really not what we do. But Tristan Thompson, I don't know if you know this, he used to date Khloe Kardashian.
I do know this.
You know who also used to date Khloe Kardashian? James Harden.
Oh my gosh, I forgot.
James Harden, I don't know if people
that
remember.
That was brief though. Wasn't it very brief?
Well, here's an amazing quote from Khloe Kardashian that I need to pull up, but I'll just remember it from verbatim.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I'll just remember it from the fact that I studied
I don't want to make
it
too light of this part, okay. But when Lamar Odom was in a coma and he was still technically married to Khloe Kardashian, but remember they had some, there was a separation there to begin with. I mean, they were separated.
They drifted apart before the coma. Yeah.
Yeah. An Oxford coma. That's a Vampire Weekend reference. Khloe started dating James Harden while Lamar was in a coma, and they only dated for a few months and that was it. And Khloe had an amazing quote on her show. She had some late night show called like Keeping Up with Khloe or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about her relationship with James Harden by saying, I told James, we do not have to be monogamous. I'm in Los Angeles. You are in Houston. We don't need to be monogamous. We can live our life. And when we're together, we're together. But he wanted to be monogamous, but then he also wanted to cheat on me.
Mm.
Like, I mean, one, I love Khloe Kardashian and I love the honesty there.
It's called it's a cuckoldry relationship. That's what that's called.
Is it? So I don't know how Tristan Thompson, I don't know how Tristan Thompson would feel about, or James Harden would feel about playing. I don't know if there's like a beef between the two of, you know, typically two men who have been lucky enough to be in Khloe Kardashian's presence.
Oh, you think that's going to cause them to have
some strife?
They'll like have to, yeah, headbutt each other.
So I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah. A couple of maybe stags.
Maybe they're friends. Don't know.
I think they'll be fine. I think that was a pretty, I don't know. That didn't seem like a very serious romance between two. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's some real beef there. Who knows?
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. Okay. This is the most intriguing name on the list to me. Montrezl Harrell. Montrezl Harrell is averaging 25 points per game, 14-7-2 from the floor, 65% from the field. He is about as automatic from around the bucket as it gets, even though he's only like 6'5". He is an he's a bundle of energy, and this team needs a bundle of energy. They need a little bit of a motor. Now, the thing is, Harrell's had many more parts in his career where it seems like he gets in fights with people in the locker room, not physical fights, but like emotional fights because he has so much energy.
Mm.
He has also played with James Harden in the past. If we remember, he started on Houston where Harden basically kind of made his career to start, and then he was added into the Chris Paul trade that sent him to the Clippers, and he was with the Clippers for a while before now he's in Washington. So Washington is fighting for a playoff spot. Harrell is a highly valuable player for them in terms of points. He's only averaging 25 minutes per game. The Wizards, I don't know if you know this, the Wizards fans are like pretty sick of this team.
I didn't know that they were sick of the team. I thought they would be sick of people fall in and out of love with Montrezl Harrell. That's my understanding of it.
100%. He's the guy who is really exciting for a moment, mm-hmm. and then you're done with him. But I think the Nets could harness that moment. I like the idea of like a really effective lane operator as a big, you know, Nick Claxton. We all hope he can be the screen and roll big, and he can be it sometimes. LaMarcus is a pick and pop. The thing about Harrell is that he just can't play defense. He just doesn't. The thing that kills him and the things that knocks him out of playoff series is that he always gets exposed defensively. He always has put up buckets. He's always been hyper efficient, but he cannot play defense. And like, let me ask you, would you want to add a big on this team that can't play any D?
I'm pretty blown away by the fact that he averaged in 63 games in 2019 and 2020, 18 points. That is pretty hard to do for a dude with that skill set. I'm impressed. I hadn't realized it was that high.
And it's zero reliance on threes. He's not a good free throw shooter. He's like, okay, but not good. He's averaging about like 65% over his career. It's all just being hyper efficient on pick and rolls, attacking the rim. That's what it is. Again, he's the most talented player the Nets could possibly get. Now, I think to get him, though, the Nets would have to give up more than just like some second round pick. Like, they may have to think about, I don't know, not Kessler Edwards, not Cam Thomas. Like, you'd have to think about maybe giving up something juicier. I don't even know what they would, like De'Ron Sharp or something.
And that's no, pretty juicy. No one, that's pretty juicy, Mike. That's too juicy.
That's too juicy. Too much juice. Sure next one. And we'll go quickly for these last few. Thomas Bryant. Thomas Bryant has only played 7 games this year. Another Wizard returning from an ACL tear. 7-3 so far this year.
A lot of whiz on 49%. This list, by the way, Mike. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah. Where do I scout? Yeah. Well, it's my scouting territory.
Right. They're sort Thomas of a farm league a good, team. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Thomas Bryant's been a good 3-point shooter over his career, 36% from three. He had a really good like first 20 games last year. He was shooting 40% from three. He's a stretch five, but not much of a defender either. Somewhat exciting. Delon Wright from the Hawks, 18 minutes per game, shooting 46, 42, and 81. The problem is he's becoming like a key part of the Hawks bench recently, and that's been charging their turnaround of late. So I don't know about him. And finally, Robin Lopez, our brother.
My guy.
19 minutes per game with the horrible Orlando Magic, averaging 8-4. He's just a big burly.
He needs
dude.
To be rescued from that team. I feel like of all the people, like he is the best option for both need reasons and also like he truly doesn't have any intention for having a ceiling. Like he just was like I really want to just fit into your system for the brief time that I'm with you. That is where and look at these numbers. These are respectable numbers for a guy who's truly got no intention of like being anywhere long term or having a real offensive ceiling. For me, in terms of need, I'm a Rolo guy. Count me in, Mike.
Yeah, I think the other thing, like, I don't know, I forget how much money he's making, but he's one of the guys making the least amount of money on this list.
Of course.
Like,
always.
The Nets are, I think it's unlikely. We listed the guys who they could fit into this trade exception. Is he really all that less impactful than Jeremy Lamb? I think he makes half as much money as Jeremy Lamb, which means he's going to cost half as less with luxury tax and all that stuff. I tend to think I like the idea of a Lopez brother on this team.
The narrative
good
works.
Vibes.
Finally, good vibes, finally get dude. A Lopez a ring
he
in
could,
Brooklyn.
He could join a team that doesn't have a mascot. Which, you know, he famously hates all mascots.
That is, there's so maybe, a, it's like finally he's like, this is part of the, this is the brand that fits my brand. I hate the mascot. They don't have one. Interesting.
He's a legit big man. So as much as we want.
Did we ever get an explanation for why the Brooklyn Knight got yoinked? Like we never, he's just like under the shadow of night. He was
canceled.
He got canceled. Did he? It was an off color tweet.
Have you seen his tweets? Have you seen his tweets?
Jeez. I did not. Sorry.
Can I mention one final thing?
Please.
Can I, and this is like a real conspiracy theory. End of the show. This is a way to really leave people off because we're about to be done.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was a lot of conversation about a year ago when James Harden was traded to the Brooklyn Nets that Tillman Fertitta did not want to trade Harden to Philly. And the reporting has now come out that Tillman Fertitta went to Harden and said to Harden, where would you want to go, Philly or Brooklyn? We have offers. We'll think about where you want to go. And Harden said, I want to be in Brooklyn, which is another reason why you should be less concerned about, you know, a deal happening where he goes to Brooklyn or where he goes to Philly. Okay. What did Daryl Morey famously do before, what was it, the 2019 season? He tweeted the famous Hong Kong tweet, right? And it destroyed the NBA's relationship in China. I'm not saying whatever I agree with. I'm just, that's what happened. Which owner in U.S. pro sports was the loudest against what Daryl Morey said?
Wow.
Do you remember? His name starts with Joe and his name ends in Sai.
Wow.
Joe Sai, as is his right, came out and had that really long Facebook post explaining why Westernist intervention in the Chinese-Hong Kong relationship is, at least from his viewpoint, something that people are very emotional about. Joe Tsai was the loudest of all U.S. pro sports owners about the Maury controversy, again, as is his right. And I would guess that Joe Tsai, who is very involved with this team, if you notice in the Woj article, Woj lists Joe Tsai before Sean Marks as the people who are reassured that James Harden's going to be here. I know that James Harden could force his way to Philly. He could. And he could leave Joe Tsai no decisions. I'm going to guess Joe Tsai would very much not like to give Daryl Morey James Harden. And that Joe Tsai would do almost anything he can not to help Daryl Morey, someone who he vehemently disagrees with the way that the person communicated, regardless of however anyone feels about the issues. I'm going to guess Joe Tsai personally would not be like, oh yeah, I'm not going to give two S's about helping Daryl Morey, a guy who I publicly called out in a searing Facebook post. So as much as we like to emphasize that Tillman Fertitta didn't help Daryl Morey, I actually think Joe Tsai is in the power rankings higher. Wow. So
great call. Nice call, Mike. Great conspiracy.
Thank you so much for listening, Brian.
Oh, it was a pleasure to be here where you are holding court. I'm just kidding. It's great. Great show.
This is a great Friday night episode.
Yeah.
We'll be back in yours as soon as possible. The Nets play the Warriors on Saturday? Saturday night?
I believe so.
And we'll have so much more basketball to discuss.
Oh, yeah. That'll be big.
Find us on Twitter Spaces because we're doing those more often.
Yeah, true. True. We got to get that going. Thanks, everybody. At PK Glue Guys, Nets Daily Athletic. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.